All right, I'd like to tonight have a little bit of fun, even as we kind of look at the Bible passage, or a number of Bible passages, and kind of approach this idea. Yes, that would be great. Collect the pens. If you stole a pen, I mean, you got a pen from the church, please make sure you get it back. That'd be nice. Emily. That's right. We want to talk a little bit today about how does the Grinch steal your Christmas? Have you ever watched the movie Grinch, the Grinch movie? How many of you ever watched the cartoon one? I mean, the cartoon one's the real one. The other one is totally ridiculous. Right, exactly. How does the Grinch steal Christmas? I'm not a guy that looks for conspiracies every corner that you turn around, and I don't know. I know. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
That's why we have
Doug. Right. Yes. I don't put a meaning on every single thing, but it's the truth that much of Christmas has been lost on the world because of what people have done to it, how they've stolen it, if you will, if we use those words. It's interesting. I've said to Lisa often in this season and other seasons, as you're hearing play over the PA system, good theological songs, and people are singing them, and you're going, they have no clue what this means. They don't have a clue what it means. It's a Christmas song. They don't know that it's teaching them really good theological truth. But there's a number of things that I think are important for us as we look at this. I think the devil can steal Christmas, number one, through distractions. Through distractions. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal." It is so easy for us, because this is in some respects all we really know, is to look at the temporal things around us rather than the eternal things that are taking place or that have the potential of taking place around us during this time. And nothing wrong at all with family or gift giving or parties like we did tonight or receiving things or whatever, but all of that can become the focus of this time of year, and we totally lose the Lord. As Pastor Caleb said Sunday morning, we don't even recognize him at all. I read a really interesting article the other day. We had already scheduled our Christmas service here. We are having a Sunday afternoon Christmas service at 1 o'clock. We've not tried that before, but we thought maybe we'd give people time in the morning and so forth. But the article was basically making a plea to people, don't cancel services on Christmas. Not that you can't adjust your services, but that you just totally cancel it on. A lot of churches have done that, and I'm not criticizing them per se, but isn't that a day that we would want to worship him? I mean, we're supposed to set aside some time to spend with him. And I think it's a very appropriate thing for us to do. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. But all of us very easily begin to set our affection on things on the earth. You notice how we quickly attach value to things that really are pretty mundane. Probably the favorite thing I have in my house as far as a Christmas decoration is we have this little wreath that hangs on the door, and it is intricate. It's got a little birdhouse. It's really not that big of a deal, except I absolutely love it. And it just says across the time, it's Christmas. That's it. I love it. Christmas is not official till that is hanging on the door. I usually come down the stairs. My family can tell you for years. I hang it on the nail. I step back and go, it's Christmas. It's like, yes. Last year, I'm looking at that thing, and I'm thinking, man, I love that thing. We've had it. How long have we had it, babe? Yeah, 10, 12, maybe even 15 years. It's been a long time. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, man, I would be so disappointed if something happened to that wreath. And I was like, the Holy Spirit said, really? It's a wreath. It's made up of little bitty tiny pieces of vine, and you would be disappointed, like it would ruin your day if your and I'm thinking, you know, Lord, you make it sound much worse than I made it sound. I mean, I'm just what I'm saying, right? But it's so true. We sometimes have placed so much value on those things that what's going to happen to it anyway? I can tell you something. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where I'm going to get to take that with me to heaven. It's probably not going on my mansion door or my hut door, whatever I'm getting, right? So, but we focus on those things even around this time of year that we've got to be really, really careful. So number one, I think he steals Christmas through distractions. But I think the second way, and I want to spend a little bit of time on this, is he steals Christmas through, and if I can get this word out, I kept pronouncing it this week and get my tongue tied, through desensitization. In other words, we desensitize to things. It just becomes, we don't even recognize it around us all the time. And again, I'm not a conspiracy guy. I am not a guy that is really, really big into being dead set against Santa Claus. I mean, I don't believe he's real. He's just a fictitious character and all this kind of stuff. My mother-in-law, she shoots every one of them she sees. I mean, with an imaginary gun or whatever, it's like, boom. It's like, we saw one the other day, one of these big blow-up kind, you know, and he was laying over on his side, and Lisa was like, hey, look, the Santa Claus laid over his side. I said, your mother shot him. He's like, and every time we have this discussion, she's not quite as bad as her mom, but she's getting there. Every time we have this discussion about it, we're just joking, by the way. We're not serious about it. But we'll get into this discussion. I'm like, maybe he's just a character, you know, all this kind of stuff. She always says this. I can't believe this, but she always says, I have Pastor Shred on my side. I'm like, this man is dividing my home. Can you believe that? But with all that said, you know, isn't it amazing how many movies and songs talk about Santa Claus and how many of those are directly attributed to our Lord characteristics? You think about just the song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I mean, the whole song. Now, I don't know who the author is. I really don't care who the author is. Did he intentionally meant to ascribe to Santa Claus all the characteristics of God? Maybe he did. I don't know. But if we're not careful, we will, and particularly for most of us in this room, we have children or grandchildren or whatever, we can teach those things innocently, and what we're subtly doing is teaching them that God may not be real either. That's a powerful thing. You think about, number one, he's coming. It talks about Santa Claus is coming to town. That's the name of the song, right? But does our Lord say that he's coming? Yes. Absolutely. That's a characteristic of him in 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17. What about he judges good and bad? Again, a characteristic of our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. He's going to try every man's work. What about he's all-knowing, omniscient? Again, a characteristic of our Lord. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. But Santa Claus knows everything, right? He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God, the Bible says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. But we give to him these characteristics, right? You've probably seen the funny thing about what he would have to do in one night in order to accomplish what he was supposed to accomplish, you know, with getting to every house and down every chimney and all this kind of stuff. You know, it's actually pretty hilarious if you've never seen it, how he will vaporize the deer because he has to move so fast and all this kind of stuff. It's pretty funny. But it's true that we ascribe those things to him. We say that he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He knows everything. He sees everything. That means he is everywhere. He can be in every home at the same time, right, overnight. I mean, it's amazing. Yet our Lord says that he is everywhere. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Behold, God is there. He works miracles. Miracle on 34th Street, right? And he was the real deal, right? He was not a fake Santa Claus. I mean, he was a real one. John 11:47 says, they gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees' council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. This is an interesting one. He's unchanging. Anybody ever see him get old? I mean, he's old, but did he ever get any older? I mean, he's looked the same since I've been alive, you know? Yeah. Some of you have been old a lot longer than that, and you've been looked the same, right? He's unchanging. But the Lord is the only one that's really unchanging, right? And it's important for us to recognize that they ascribe that. By the way, he requires belief in him. He requires belief in him. You got to believe in Santa Claus, and then he'll do this and this and this. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He answers requests. He's going to bring this particular toy or, you know, whatever. Our Lord says that we can ask him for anything. You know, Isaiah 42 and verse 8 says, I am the Lord, and that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Again, I'm not saying that everybody that, you know, if you have a picture of Santa Claus in your house or you have one of those blow-up things in your front yard, just be careful, my mother-in-law coming around. I'm not saying that you're bad and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying we got to be careful that the world in which we're living wants to break down everything. And they're okay with us breaking down the fact that Santa Claus is not really real because neither is God or anything else that you've been taught. These are all just a bunch of fairy tales. And we have to be careful that we don't communicate that to our kids and grandkids, because then how do they know that we're telling them the truth when it comes down the road? And the devil loves to get us to be desensitized to things that are happening. He loves to do that with sin. We get to the point where sin really is not as bad as it used to be. And the world works really hard at that. They push something on us and then pull it back because they get a reaction, knowing that the reaction will be less severe the next time it's sent out there. And that's exactly, I believe, what the devil has done too. So as we think about this Christmas season, don't get caught up in all these other things and miss the real reason. Now let me say one other quick thing and then we'll be done tonight. If we're not careful as people of God, we will say Jesus is the reason for the season. But the way we live really doesn't reflect that. I mean, that's what we say. And if someone were to ask us, we would say, well, absolutely, Jesus is the reason for the season, absolutely. But what in our lives point to that? Specifically, that says we really do believe that he is the reason for the season. And I love having fun like this. I think it's good to just for a change of pace and those kind of things. But we've got to remember our Lord came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross of Calvary, rose again, because that is the hope of the world. It's the hope of the world. And it's so important. And there are countless people out there who need to hear that truth. It's a great opportunity for us to do that during this time. We can hand them a track or something. So many people are more sensitive to that this time of year. So I want to challenge you. Look for someone that you can specifically invest in this year for Christmas. Teach your children to invest in others. Teach them it's not about getting up whenever you do your presents. It's not about getting up and them getting. How about teaching them to give? How about teaching them to serve? Those kind of things that embodied our Lord. If I, then your Lord and Master, can wash your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. So there's a number of challenges, I think, that can help us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are real. You have these characteristics and many, many more. And we ascribe them to individuals, but no one is you. And we're grateful for that. Help us, Lord, not to be distracted. Help us, Lord, not to be desensitized to all that's happening around us. May we focus on you as the true reason for the season. And we love you in Christ's name, we pray.